This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Jets have their quarterback, BT. We didn't get a chance to react to it because it happened basically right after we left the air yesterday at 2 o'clock. Your thoughts on your team getting their new quarterback in Justin Fields?
I think the Jets played this really well. You know, it's about time the Jets have a quarterback out there who's an athlete. The Jets never had this kind of player. So, you know, I look for a couple of different checkpoints, at least for this version of the Jets quarterback, because I don't think they love anybody in the draft, and there's no home runs out there in free agency or trade. So I wanted somebody who was young, with upside, who's got an exciting style of play. I wanted to see the AAV. I wanted to see the length of commitment. I think the Jets nailed this. Now, this doesn't mean that the Jets go out there and they've got some prolific offense, but what I think it means to me, it's a clear shift in, number one, organizational dynamics, but also how they're going to play. And I think the days of trying to load up on, you know, multiple top flight wide receivers, which very rarely works, I think the Jets are going to go back to almost a Rex Ryan style. Think about their other moves, a quarterback, a safety, obviously need to tighten up the defense. And between, you know, a couple of good running backs and Justin Fields, I really like what the Jets did. This should be fun to watch.
I don't hate it, and there's a lot of intrigue, but the pushback that I would have is Justin Fields a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers?
Different.
Right.
Better, probably not,
okay,
but
so
different.
Right. So in my mind, the answer is no. So the Jets then have gotten worse in that regard. And then you look at Justin Fields himself. While I like Fields, and I watch a lot of him with Chicago in his rookie season, because I happened to draft him on my fantasy team, so I was familiar with what he was doing. He can't throw the football. So now, it doesn't mean that the Jets can't win some games. It doesn't mean that where they're going as an organization, like, I get it. Muji and Glenn are trying to build. The way that I would say it is, like, Patino told us, or he said to you in your podcast that I think I was listening to. No, and he told us, too. There are steps to building a program, right? We've talked about it with the Knicks, where the Knicks had to build that team that's going to fight and be gritty and gutty under Tibbs in his first couple years, and they were. And then they evolved to get the talent. Patino talked about it with St. John's. In this year, in year two, this is where you want to be. Guys that are going to give everything that they have and then, you know, see where you're at. And then eventually year three, you got to get the talent. The Jets right now are in year one. They're trying to build the foundation and bringing in guys. They're going to be culture guys. Now, Fields has some upside, sure, and he's going to be hungry because he wants to prove he can be a starting quarterback in this league. But ultimately, like, I don't look at Justin Fields as being the answer at quarterback for the Jets when they see prominence.
I agree with you. But what this does, and we'll get to the Giants later, see, unlike the Giants who now are operating from a place of pressure, like, you know, names are flying off the board. They don't have the guy that they want. You know they don't love the people that they could draft, because if they did, they wouldn't be going after Stafford, Rodgers, all the other things the Giants are trying. See, I agree that Justin Fields is not the, like, the future. I don't think he is. You never know, but right. I tend to agree with you. But what he should do is inject, and you don't make moves just based on what you think the fans will think, but he's going to inject excitement not only to the stands, but into a locker room. Played with Garrett Wilson, played with Rucker at Ohio State. And, you know, by the way, the last 4 years, he's averaged 50 yards a game on the ground, which is second most to anybody behind Lamar Jackson.
Right.
So now there's a lot of things. How will they utilize
him? You can win like that.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Sal, I think that if you get to a point where the Jets are going to have to steal a couple of wins this year if they're going to be viable, right? I think the way you steal wins is you steal a couple of yards, then you steal a couple of first downs, then you steal a couple of points, and then you steal a couple of wins. Justin Fields gives you an ability to do that.
Yeah, he just can't throw the football well enough, at least hasn't been able to do that at the NFL level. And remember, he's been with a couple of teams, so I talked about it. If this were a year ago, I'd maybe be more excited because you wouldn't have seen him with Pittsburgh. The fact that he got beat out in Pittsburgh to Russell Wilson, to me, is a knock against him.
Oh, did he get beat out, or did they just take the job away from him?
Well, whatever. I mean, Fields wasn't good enough to start. If he was the exciting player that we thought the Bears were going to get. Remember, the Bears made a choice to go with Caleb Williams over him.
Yep.
The Steelers made a choice to go with Russell Wilson over him, and now the Jets are making him their guy. The intrigue from the Jets' point of view is that they haven't had a quarterback in his realm in a while, meaning not only like his style,
mm-hmm.
but with the potential upside there, there's intrigue. He's not a rookie that they're going to throw to the Wolves. He's got some experience, and he's got the upside. He's a nice, happy medium as opposed to Sam Darnold as a rookie, Geno Smith, Zach Wilson, or the opposite end, Aaron Rodgers.
Fitzpatrick, Rodgers, Testaverde, who we love, but the older guys.
So he's in-between that brings some intrigue. I just don't feel like the Jets got better at quarterback from where they were with Aaron Rodgers. They're different, and I know that Fields has his limitations.
Well, listen, different could be bad. Different could be worse. I don't think that you get out there and you say, all right, let's start booking playoff tickets. I think this is just a sensible first step. The Jets had to change the energy of the franchise. You and I are both Rodgers guys. We wanted Aaron Rodgers to come back. If Aaron Rodgers winds up in the right situation, probably Pittsburgh, Aaron Rodgers will probably put up pretty good numbers, and Aaron Rodgers will win some games. That was not what Muji, that's not what Woody wanted, but what Muji and Aaron Glenn and Woody jointly decided upon. And based on that decision, you've got to look at all the other options. And I just think that this young man's coming in where, you know, he's gotten enough reps where he shouldn't be overwhelmed, okay?
Right.
And because of the contract, he's not thought to be a savior. I don't know that as a New York team he could ever kind of slide in the side door, but it's not the front door with the limo like Rodgers. I think it's just a gritty but also dynamic, athletic, fast move that I really like, and I think it's going to juice up the building. I think it juices up the fan base, and if he's not good, he's gone.
Right.
And by the way, the other thing it does too, unlike the Giants, it gives the Jets a year or possibly 2 year window of clarity to make other decisions on quarterbacks, which without the gun to their head, without the pressure point of, oh God, we got to save our jobs. We got to save the season. We got to win. We got to do this. No, no, no. Go out there, change how you play, steal some points, have some fun, and make decisions as they come along smartly.
It feels disciplined. It feels right as far as building toward the future. I just don't want, like, the real reality of the situation is that the Jets aren't going to be built this year to go out there and be a top team in the AFC. Now, it doesn't mean that they couldn't back into the playoffs by mistake. We've seen that happen with Daniel Jones and the Giants. So I'm not saying it's impossible, but this is year one of the Jets trying to change the infrastructure, change the culture with that organization. And after the Muji and Glenn moves, after those decisions, I feel like this is the right fit. The other thing is that whereas Wilson, Darnold, Geno, you could throw in Rodgers as well, like the ceiling was through the roof. The floor for some of the younger guys especially, we didn't know where rock bottom was going to be. And we actually saw that with Rodgers as well. But with Fields, you get the feel where you know where the floor is, assuming health. And with a running quarterback, there's always the risk of injury.
Yeah, sure.
But Fields is not, his bottom out is going to be better than most because he can run the football.
Yeah.
Which is going to help you win games. So the floor is not going to be as low as it was with Darnold, Geno, or Zach Wilson at their worst.
Well, listen, I do think that it's a little misleading when people say he can't throw the ball. Now, he doesn't throw it like Rodgers or... I'm not saying...
Darts, like line drives, inaccurate, no touch down the field.
I'm not saying he's perfect. Yeah. I'm definitely not saying that. But when I think of and I know the game's changed a bit, the numbers have changed a bit because there's more shorter throws, which gets percentages up. Like the Jamarcus Russells and even Alex Smith back in the day and Zach Wilson. And, you know, like there are quarterbacks who were drafted where they're just dreadful right away. They're like 47% completion percentage. Yeah. They're throwing 10, 12, 15 more picks than touchdowns. That's not Justin Fields. The last couple, now, the average percentage has elevated throughout the NFL, and he's got to get his number up. But you look at his numbers, you know, he's 61, 62, 63, 64% completion percentage, couple of more touchdowns than picks, and he can run the hell out of it. So I like it. I mean, I'm going to stop short of saying love it, but right. It does seem like there's a good plan, and the Jets knew what they wanted.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Charlie's in Bethpage. What's up, Charlie?
Charlo.
Hey, good morning, boys. How we doing?
Good. Haven't heard from you in a while. What's going on?
Dealing with my mom and dad's health issues. That has not been an easy road.
Sorry to hear about that.
Sorry, buddy.
That's all right. God bless them. I still got them, and that's the important thing.
Mm-hmm.
But moving forward, I was happy with it. I thought it waited a little too long. I was getting a little antsy because we needed some kind of direction. Now, I did want Rodgers back, and that didn't work out. So, Fields, I like. I mean, I thought he did a great job last year, 4-2 out of the gate for Pittsburgh. And then they put Russell in there, which I was shocked. And that was the Jet game. I was out in Pittsburgh, and Russell looked like he was playing for Seattle in the Super Bowl. But Fields has got a lot of upside. And now, can he throw the ball downfield? Is he an accurate passer? No, but he can throw the ball. I watched him sling the ball last year, and he's got the option to run. He can do two things, and we have to go some kind of direction. He ain't the future of the New York Jets. We gotta get a quarterback in the future, but he's a good thing to start for this year, and I'm not expecting goals anymore for the Jets. Been expecting that for the last 2 years.
Yep.
I just want competitive football.
Yeah,
just want to go Sunday and enjoy my football Sunday.
Attaboy, you want to get a touchdown or two, right? You want to see the Jets get in the end zone in the first quarter, not like with 3 minutes and 12 seconds to go in the second quarter. We know what you mean. It's called modern football. There's nothing more depressing. Like, the Knicks have done this back. Every team's done that. I don't need to list it because every team's done it. But there is nothing more depressing because you know it's going nowhere. When it's a reset or a restructure or a rebuild, whatever cute word you want to use, and the guy that's the focal point of whatever sport we're talking about is past his prime, and you know it. You know it.
Yeah.
Now, at least with Justin Fields, it represents potential and excitement. And that's for right now, that's good enough. It's good to throw a little juice into the building. Yeah. Juice on the practice field. Let's go.
And I do think Fields is a competitor, which
no
I
doubt.
Like. You want to have the structure with Glenn and Fields now is nice and set, and those guys are going to set the tempo, you would think, and the you know, that energy that you're talking about that feels like it has been lacking. I'm not knocking Aaron Rodgers when I say that. I'm just talking about the Jets as a whole. And then when Rodgers came here, it wasn't his own fault, but the expectations through the roof of the Super Bowl. So I kind of like what Charlie's saying. Forget about expectations. Forget about playoffs and Super Bowl. Just focus on building this thing the right way for once.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they have the right guy in Muji. Maybe they have the right guy in Glenn. I kind of like some of the moves that have been going on, even if it's not just with the personnel, meaning in that front office, changing some things. There's a good feel as to what's going on. I just don't. I think the expectation needs to be tempered here. To me, I don't like the way Justin Fields throws the football. I've watched enough of
him. Just the way it looks. By the way, I agree. No, I remember saying that when he was coming out of Ohio State.
Yeah, well, and Ohio State, I liked him with Ohio State. I skew Ohio State for whatever reason. I've always liked them in the Big Ten. And just I've been going back to Jim Tressel, like, uh-huh. Like Ted Ginn, all those guys.
Teddy Kinn Jr.
So I like Ohio State for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So I've watched more than I have other college teams. But even in college, I like Justin Fields, but again, throwing a big window and all those different things. And you've seen it in the NFL, and when I watched him closely, doesn't mean he can't win or have some success. Love him running the football. Throwing it, there's inaccuracies, there's no touch down the field. Those things bother me as far as having a pure quarterback who's, if you need to make a throw, can do it. Fields hasn't proven that he can do that at the NFL level.
Now, look at it this way here. Let's go inside the Jets war room. All right, let's pretend we're there right now, and it's draft night, first round, Jets are at 7, and they didn't get Justin Fields. Let's say Justin Fields stayed with Pittsburgh. They moved on from Rodgers. Everything else that has already happened has already happened. And the Jets, let's say Russell Wilson went to the Giants, and the Jets have like a Garoppolo type. I mean, that was not inconceivable that that would happen, or a Kirk Cousins type, right? It would be depressing because there'd be zero upside. But inside the war room, there would also be a sense of maybe desperation strong, but motivation to get a quarterback with juice that could represent the future. And when you think that way, because you have to think that way, you tend to, your brain can mislead you. Now that the Jets have at least an exciting, potentially intriguing option at the quarterback spot, their mind is clear. And when that phone rings and they're sitting there at 7, they could do a multitude of things. They could take the best player. They could trade back for somebody who didn't get a quarterback, because now a lot of the dominoes have fallen and there's still a team or two out there that needs a quarterback. It is not inconceivable that the Jets trade out of 7, get another first-round pick, and have 2 first-round picks to trade up next year when the draft is going to be better for quarterbacks. They set themselves up.
Yeah, I like that. And worst-case scenario with Fields is that you're going to be able to he's able to run the football, which will mask the other weaknesses. So there is no that bottom-out type thing. So, yes, laying the groundwork as far as the future and where you're at as an organization, setting yourself up for the next moves, and also knowing that on the field, okay, worst case scenario, we still should be competitive because he can run the football and make up for some of the other areas of deficiency. John is in Danbury, Connecticut. What's up, John?
Hey, John.
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call. I'm not a Jets fan, but I am very excited for the Jets because I love what they're doing. Like, you look at all the moves that they're making, like you guys said, and it makes sense. I can really see this being a very scrappy team that can compete with, you know, the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimores of the world. Are they going to go in his favorites? No, but I could definitely see them as like a thorn in the side that if the opposite team doesn't do everything correctly, they're going to give up a win to the Jets. And it just makes sense. Versus their, you know, crosstown rivals or crosstown brothers, I feel like the Giants are walking on thin ice. And I just feel like every move that they're making is a little desperate. Granted, I like what they made with the D-line and signing. I forget what the space from the Cowboys. That's great. But I just feel like the contrast is so different right now between the two teams. And I'm just so curious what the Giants are going to do at quarterback to really make me feel better. But I appreciate it, guys.
And thank you for the call, John. I think you're exactly right when you say the franchises couldn't be in more different spots. It doesn't mean that the Jets are going to be successful right away. What it means is the Giants are going into year 4 with Shane and Dable, still have no quarterback. They could talk about the draft being good from a year ago, but the team was awful. They had no area on the team that you could look to and say, well, at least the defense was their identity. No identity whatsoever. They're chasing a quarterback. They're chasing trying to win now because they know everybody's going to be on the hot seat, meaning Shane and Dable. Whereas the Jets are starting, it's year 1. They failed. Their experiment with Rodgers failed. Failed with Robert Saleh. They're in year 1 with Muji and Glenn, and their moves are in accordance with that, and they do have some talent on the roster. They bring in a quarterback that's, you know, he's not going to be a rookie. He's got something to prove. He's proven that he can win a little bit at the NFL. They're in a nice spot to start year 1 of a new regime.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As far as the Jets are concerned, I mean, they got a 26-year-old Justin Fields. Here's my take on that. It's a safe pick. It's exactly something that they haven't had in a long time, and that is a really athletic quarterback. There's no question that his running ability is as good as there is in the NFL, and they'll have to incorporate a lot of that into his game. He basically has an overall record of 14-30 in the NFC North. He was 3-12. However, two of those wins came against the Detroit Lions and, of course, Aaron Glenn.
Yeah.
So they members
of the offensive staff that were also there, too.
Right. I mean, like, they had to do something, and they have Tyrod Taylor there still. And I don't know, you know, they'll figure out which guy, you know, you would assume that Justin's going to be the starter on opening day, but you just never know how these things work out. And it's going to be up to the Jets to put him in a situation where he can succeed. Now, if I had to give you the checks against Justin Fields, I would say the checks against him are decision-making, how long it takes him to make a decision, and you can't wait for guys to be open. You have to throw them open in this league, and this is something that he has been incapable of doing since he's been an NFL quarterback. The strengths are he's got a cannon for an arm. He's an incredible athlete. I think he's a very likable player. In other words, the team will like him in the locker room, but there are going to be very frustrating moments for him. And I think Pittsburgh Steelers fans could tell you the same thing, because, you know, when they benched him, he was 4-2.
Yeah.
And he had a bunch of really good games in there, and he had some, you know, high passing games. In other words, a lot of completions, a lot of yards, and they won. And then all of a sudden, they buried him on the bench out of nowhere. And that concerns me. And I wonder why Pittsburgh would do that to him, and what were the internal situations or discussions about whatever he was missing or whatever was going on there. Because I looked at those numbers. I figured, okay. And I remember watching a couple of Verley's games. You know, he threw for over 300 yards in one of those games. And I was thinking, you know, maybe he did find a second gear, and maybe he found a home. And I know the Steelers wanted him back, but, you know, the Steelers, with adding DK Metcalf, whoever their quarterback better be, and maybe it will be Russell Wilson, and he'll be reunited with his former teammate, they better get a guy back there that is controlling this team, because you got two hotheads at wide receiver.
Yeah, George Pickens and DK Metcalf. But yeah, Justin Fields is fine for right now. I mean, of all the guys out there, you mentioned his age first, which I think is a big part of this. And I don't love bringing in some of these older guys and the risk of injury. And anybody can get hurt at any age. But I do like the fact that Justin Fields is younger, and maybe, just maybe, the best football for him is ahead of him. I don't think anybody, though, is really feeling confident about Justin Fields being the answer for the next five, six years.
And
that's really what this regime is going to be defined by, is where are you getting that guy? So he's fine for a transition period. The team is not going to be very good. They may be able to be around 500 if things end up breaking their way. But this is really an organizational transition period.
I would say that if they get a new coach bounce, you know, if Aaron's able to give them a little bit more confidence, treat them a little bit differently, give them a little bit more competitive desire and fight, then maybe just like kind of like what Brian Daboll did for the Giants. I'm not saying that they're going to make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to be close to making the playoffs. And I wouldn't be surprised if they pick in the top five next year's draft. And if they did, that would be the expectation. If they didn't, then that would be kind of a stunner that they played better than 500 football. Maybe they end up 9-8. We still have to see how the rest of the roster is going to fill out. And then when you think about like what Buffalo just did, what New England just did within their own division, you know, those two teams, and I think New England just absolutely hit it out of the park in terms of free agency. Now, you can't really build your team totally with free agency, but for what the New England Patriots needed and what Mike Vrabel wanted, he's building a team in his vision, which is going to be defense first, and then let Josh McDaniels figure out how to make Drake May into the next Tom Brady.
Yeah, and there's been examples of guys that I didn't think were going to be very good at all after they started off in places that kind of put them through the NFL meat grinder. And Sam Darnold ended up having a season last year that got him $100 million from the Seahawks. Geno Smith, who gets traded to the Raiders, he was another guy who had a career resurgence because he ended up in the right place. So, I mean, I think that there's like a 10% chance that Justin Fields turns into the next one of those guys.
Yeah, I mean.
But like Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to do that for them for very long. Kirk Cousins wasn't going to do that for them. You know, Russell Wilson wasn't going to do that for them. So as far as the guys that were out there, I mean, I'm not thrilled about Justin Fields. I think we're going to see a lot of bad football, a lot of bad throws, a lot of frustrating third and 12s where he's not going to convert.
What are the Jets supposed to do?
I mean, this is what they're supposed to do.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, it fits exactly what they should be doing. I think everybody should feel decently about it. But, you know, accuracy issues, late on the throw issues, all those little things that, you know, that befuddle quarterbacks and coaches and really make you wonder, you know, how a guy like this, you know, ended up as a first round pick. Just because a team had to reach, a team needed a player, and it didn't work out. And that's the way the Bears feel about Justin Fields. A little shocking that Pittsburgh didn't want him, but I guess they didn't want to go to the number that the Jets went to, and the Jets were desperate. They had to have an alternative to Tyrod Taylor just in case. And like I said, for Jet fans, this would be something that they haven't seen. This is going to be a quarterback that is going to run. He is going to be running probably somewhere between 7 to 10 times a game.
Yeah.
That's who he is. That's his game. And it's going to be up to the Jets to really kind of just manufacture their offense around his skill set. If you are a wide receiver and you are Garrett Wilson.
Well, he knows all about it.
You ain't going to be so happy.
Yeah, but I mean.
I'm just telling you, it's not.
He's played with them before, so he knows what he's getting into.
I know. And hopefully they can rekindle that thing that they had at Ohio State. But I just, you know, he knows. He knows what's going on. But in the NFL, it's different. You start throwing the ball over the heads of wide receivers, they get upset.
So the next wave really depends on Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and Daniel Jones. And it's funny how.
And Kirk Cousins right now, at least as far as we know, is not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Atlanta has said they want to keep him on the roster and they want him to be the backup quarterback to Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, so where those guys go, I mean, it feels like that Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers is going to happen. That's what that feels like. So my prediction is that Aaron Rodgers goes to the Steelers, Russell Wilson ends up here with the Giants being the bridge quarterback to the guy that they draft, and Daniel Jones ends up in Minnesota. I think he starts the season as the starting quarterback in Minnesota, and then we'll see what happens with J.J. McCarthy's health and maturity and all those things.
Two things that really piqued, you know, my incredible interest about what happened with these quarterbacks is, number one, Geno Smith was offered a contract extension by Seattle. He said no because I think he knew and his agent knew that the Raiders wanted him, because they want to reunite him with Pete Carroll. And Pete Carroll wants a veteran quarterback that he knows. So he essentially forces a trade by saying no to the contract extension that Seattle gave him. He goes and gets traded for a third-round pick to Seattle. So Seattle gets a third-round pick. They get, I believe, a better quarterback than they had, and they paid that quarterback less money. He's younger and had a great game against Seattle in Seattle last year.
He did.
So Seattle is a huge winner, I think, in this situation. Now, whether or not they're going to be able to break through with Sam Darnold, you know, that, you know, I don't know. We'll wait and see. I think we saw what we saw with Sam Darnold two of those last three games of the regular season, one in the playoffs. It's just a better move by Seattle. And for the Raiders, it's an okay move, and they're going to end up giving him a contract extension, Geno Smith. And Geno Smith is one of these guys that just hangs around, makes a ton of money, and I don't necessarily know that that's going to move the needle for the Raiders in that division.
Yeah, and I can't believe it was actually a third-round pick, too. That seemed very high for a 35-year-old quarterback. It was a strange one, but he is there with his coach, and Geno Smith's probably happy in the sense that not only is he reunited with Pete Carroll, but they also traded away DK Metcalf to the Steelers, and that was going to be a big loss for him if he stayed in Seattle. So I mentioned Russell Wilson to the Giants. You gave a little bit of an oof there for that.
I mean, it's just going to be another...
I mean, I don't know where else they go, right?
Here's the thing. Russell was great when he was younger. And he was able to create because of his size and everything. This will be his fourth team if he comes here. And I'm just, it's Moonball City, which is fine. But he's not going to be able to run around all over the place. I don't know what else the alternatives are.
It's Aaron Rodgers, if he decides he wants to be here. But
exactly. He may, because he still has his house in New Jersey. I don't think he sold it yet.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Go ahead. Justin Fields has reached an agreement on a two-year, $40 million deal that includes $30 million guaranteed.
With
the New York Jets.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we have our quarterback. Now, here's my reaction to this.
Yeah.
Because I had a lengthy argument with a few of my friends who are Jet fans.
And you were pro-Fields.
I was more pro-Fields than I was anti-Fields. And the reason I was more pro-Fields, hear me out on this, number one is his age. Okay? When you sign someone who is still 26 years old.
26
years old.
Right.
When you still bring someone in who's that young, we may not have seen the best yet of Justin Fields. And that is a hell of a lot more appealing than Carson Wentz and Marcus Mariota. That's number one. Number two, I think the Jets are going to be a run-first, ground-and-pound kind of team. which means, and you tell me more because you've watched more tape on this, that this is going to be an RPO team. They're going to have a quarterback who's athletic, who can make plays with his legs. I question how many plays he'll make with his arms. We'll get to that in a second. But with Breece Hall and Braylon Allen and an offensive line that did take a little bit of a hit today, with a loss in free agency we'll address, but with an offensive line that should be good, the identity of this team is going to be a team that runs the football. And having an athletic, mobile quarterback, to me, helps them. And he's young.
No, he is young, and he's had a 1,000-yard season. He had that in Chicago. There have been a couple of games, one of which I called against Denver, where he was ridiculously good, threw for 330-something yards and four touchdowns, and he looked finally like a pocket-type passer. Now, it's not going to be what they're going to ask him to do, but you've seen him do it at least a couple of times in his career. The challenge to me with this Justin Fields signing for the New York Jets is, do they have the right system in place to groom him into it? You know what I mean? Mm. Is the coach, the offensive coordinator, the quarterback coach, run game coordinator, are they experienced enough to do this? Do it well.
The problem is they're not experienced. Right. I mean, so right. if you're asking me to have confidence in the coaching staff.
But I also feel like in the NFL, every coach has had some experience in college. And these are just schemes that have now made their way into the NFL. And so you got a long time to figure it out, right? You got another 2 months before, or month and a half, I should say, before you have all the rookies and the mini camps and all that stuff. So there's time to figure this out and figure out how to best use Justin Fields, or you just go back and look at what he did in Chicago, because there were a couple of seasons in Chicago where he ran the heck out of the football. It was the development as a passer that always felt truncated.
Can he develop as a passer?
Yeah, of course he can, because you've seen him do it.
Yeah.
But it's the consistency in doing it. Right? One great game is one thing. Two, three, you're like, maybe we're on to something. But you got to do it for 18 weeks, or 17 games over 18 weeks. That's a different story completely.
There are a lot of elements to this, including how it impacts the New York Giants, which we'll get to. And I know it's a different general manager, but for us as Jet fans, we don't change when there's a new GM or new head coach. Mm-hmm. So for me as a Jet fan, I call this an NFL draft mulligan, because they chose Zach Wilson over Justin Fields. And they were able to delete the Zach Wilson problem. He's gone. He's not coming back. He is a free agent, by the way. And now we get to see Justin Fields with his third franchise, his third organization. And you look at the contract, 2 years, $40 million. He is the starting quarterback of the New York Jets. Tyrod Taylor is the backup quarterback of the New York Jets. But it does lead to the next question, which we'll try to address, which is, can they still draft a young quarterback? Mm. Does that even make sense? We'll address that coming up, plus how this directly impacts the New York Football Giants, and it does. We'll mix in more of your Garrett Cole calls as well, because it's a very, very busy Monday. The toll-free number is 888-808-1019, and we will find definitive proof, because it's already been found, that I mushed Garrett Cole. It's actually all my fault. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. If you're just tuning in, NFL free agency has begun, and a quarterback domino has fallen here in New York. Justin Fields to the New York Jets on a 2-year, $40 million contract. 30 of it is guaranteed. Based on the contract, based on his age, based on the fact he's leaving Pittsburgh to come to the Jets, I think he was told, you're the starting quarterback.
Mm.
Or do you think there is a competition between him and Tyrod Taylor?
It's a 2-year, $40 million deal. So he's making $20 million a year. So is that starting quarterback money?
It's more than Tyrod Taylor.
It is more than Tyrod Taylor. But Tyrod Taylor's 34 years old, and who knows where his long-term future is. Whereas Justin Fields likely had options as a backup. And so they had to outbid those other backup options, but also get him close to being starting quarterback money. Because if he's a starting quarterback and he's good, he's grossly underpaid.
That's a steal.
It's a humongous steal. Now, obviously, if that happens, you would think that the Jets would, like with Saquon Barkley with the Eagles, they would do the right thing and make him a $35, $40 million quarterback, whatever the number tends to be. But to me, it feels like it's going to be a competition still. Because what has Justin Fields done to earn starting job consideration just because?
Well, I mean, last year with Pittsburgh, I think he started 6 games. They won 4 of them.
Yeah, but
he played reasonably well.
But they were lacking in a lot of ways, right? They explosive plays in their run game, but he just never could get his, like, the passing situations worked out there. And they have good wide receivers there.
Yep.
It just never, it never came around. So when they had the opportunity to bench him for Russell Wilson, they just benched him. And it kind of went exactly the opposite. They had explosive pass games, but the run game disappeared.
What I like about this signing, even if I'm not convinced he's going to be the franchise quarterback we're teaching our grandkids about 25 years from now, is that they brought in a quarterback who has the possibility, because he's only 26 years old, with weapons he's very familiar with, starting with Garrett Wilson, obviously teammates at The Ohio State, but that's not his only former teammate he's reuniting with. Maybe he opens up Jeremy Ruckert, who he was also teammates with, who we sort of forget about.
Ruckert's already tweeting about it, by the way.
I'm sure he's excited.
Is he?
Yeah. So you've got
our guy, let's go, you know, that kind of deal.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
I'm glad it wasn't. Screw that guy, I hated him.
I'm trying to think, like, did Garrett Wilson have more success in college with Justin Fields or with C.J. Stroud?
That's a good question, because I was looking at his numbers the 2 years that Fields and Wilson were teammates. He was never their leading receiver. Chris Olave was in 2020. Right.
Well, they had so many guys.
They had a lot of guys.
Jackson Smith and Jigma was there.
Yep.
I think he was a freshman
that
year. So they've always had too much depth at Ohio State, so it's hard to be the man there.
I'm assuming that Garrett Wilson's pumped up, and considering he was not exactly the biggest Aaron Rodgers fan, I'm sure for him, at least personally, this is a big change. But what excites me about it is the possibilities. He's 26 years old. And I've said this before, I want to throw as many little things against the wall to find my franchise quarterback, which is why I'm still not against drafting a young quarterback. If the right guy is there that you believe
in. But you still have Jordan Travis.
And you've got Jordan Travis, who's another pelt against the wall. Tyrod Taylor's the calming veteran, but Fields is 26 years old. And so it's still possible, even if it doesn't feel likely, because we're the Jets and usually quarterbacks have to leave to become good. I understand that. I'm intrigued by the possibility that maybe they'll find a way to get the most out of Justin Fields. Now, the other aspect, before we get back to your calls, Jet fans, Giant fans, Yankee fans on Gerrit Cole, and we will talk to Paul Goldschmidt of the Yankees coming up at about 3:15. This directly impacts the Giants. Because if Aaron Rodgers is not retiring, which it appears like he's not, and he's going to play football next year, the Steelers are linked to him. The Giants are linked to him.
I believe in the Giants.
And we got to be honest with ourselves. Unless that house he built in Jersey is the greatest house ever built.
It is pretty stellar.
I'm sure it is. How and why would he pick the Giants over Mike Tomlin?
I like Mike Tomlin.
Very good. And the Pittsburgh Steelers. Why? How?
He wouldn't. He'd go to the Steelers because they're a team that consistently wins. They're consistently in the postseason. And dare I say, even though it's a bad cliche and I don't believe it, they are and have been for a while now the quarterback away from being Super Bowl champion viable.
He's going to the Steelers.
And so I would guess if it's real,
right,
it just started ticking up recently, last couple of days, that the Steelers are an actual landing spot for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, there are a ton of free agent quarterbacks that are still available right now. I know we're looking at the dominoes starting to fall with Sam Darnold gone and Justin Fields now going to the Jets. It feels like there's Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers yet left.
Mm.
But think about where the Giants are and what their plan could and should be. They have to take a veteran quarterback in free agency. They also should draft one.
Yes.
And so their focus right now is likely figuring out how they draft Cam Ward. And I know that the Aaron Rodgers conversations or Russell Wilson conversations are ongoing, but there's other backups that are available if they need to get a veteran.
Carson Wentz?
Well, Jacoby Brissett, there's Marcus Mariota, there's Jared Stidham, Jameis Winston. Like, there's a ton of them.
Yeah, but you know what the difference is between Rodgers, and I'll include Wilson in this too, over all those guys?
Mm-hmm.
Rodgers and Wilson can at least help you win in the short term. Yes?
The Jets keep spending.
All right, what do we do now?
The Jets have given out a 3-year, $36 million deal with Ravens corner Brandon Stevens, who started all 17 games last year.
So there's your replacement for DJ Reed. That's basically how I read that. Now, how much money did you say?
3 years, 36. We don't have the guarantees.
What did DJ Reed get earlier today, out of curiosity?
Oh, it was a big deal.
I got it. 3 years, 48. So it's a little bit less money. DJ Reed, by the way, signed with the Detroit Lions for 3 years, $48 million, 32 of it guaranteed.
The Jets' pivot now is to add the Ravens corner. What's his name again and how
Brandon
much money?
Stevens.
Brandon Stevens.
Making $12 million a year, which is on the low end. So they get him on a cheaper deal than DJ.
23 guaranteed.
How old is he?
He is 27. He was a third-round pick in 2021.
They basically guaranteed him for 2 years.
So what do we?
He's going to be your cornerback for 2 years. That's basically what that says. Unless he has a breakout season and then they extend him.
Do we like this move, Tiki? Tell me if I should be happy right now.
Yeah, he's a good cornerback.
All right.
He wasn't great last year, but he's a good cornerback and he's paid commiserately. He's making $12 million a year. Paulson Adebo, in comparison, who just signed with the New York Giants, signed for $18 million a year.
Gotcha.
The top end cornerbacks make about $25 million.
And here's the reality. The Jets are very likely. I don't know if it's going to happen today or tomorrow or this offseason. They're going to extend Sauce Gardner. Mm-hmm. Like, the idea, and I floated it out about using him as a trade chip to move up in the draft, that's not happening.
Right.
It was never happening, but it was an interesting, hey, they could use this if they wanted. They're going to lock up Sauce. He's going to make a crap ton of money. How much can you pay multiple corners?
Yeah. And so, I mean, but you got to remember, when they think about this. Myles Garrett just signed a contract with the Cleveland Browns that is 4 years, $160 million. $122 million of it is guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
His base salary is less than $2 million.
Mm.
So whenever Sauce gets that deal, whether it's before the season starts or next year, it's going to lower significantly the cap.
That's true.
Because the base salary is so low.
Very, very true.
If the Jets are smart, they'll do what the Eagles do. They'll give him a signing bonus, and it'll be whatever huge number it is, and they'll throw on two or three void years, right? So it can spread it out over however long you need to, and it just makes it so much easier to sign other people.
So they've replaced DJ Reed, a free agent corner they lost. We'll see if they how they try to replace Morgan Moses, who left them to sign with the New England Patriots. They may not do it in free agency.
Right, that's
going to
be the hard one because I don't.
He was one of the better free agent right tackles out there,
and there's not a ton of them available.
No, you're right. That's a tough one. That was a big blow, especially seeing him go to New England of all places.
Right.
Toll free number 888-808-1019. Ozzie and Woodridge, what's up, Oz?
What's up, everybody? How you doing?
Yo.
Hey, when Alonzo asked you to get a beard again, you should have introduced him to the saintly Sylvia and said, "This is my beard."
Something. And you know what's impressive about Ozzy? He didn't have a lot of time to write that. Like, that's not something
exactly.
He didn't have, like, all weekend to think about it because he didn't know what Pete was going to say. So, you know, for that, I give you a lot of credit. Good job out of you, Oz. What else you got?
Thank you. Sean, safe and relaxing vacation, my friend.
Thank you, Oz. I appreciate it. By the way, you did make me audibly laugh out loud at that joke, so a couple points for you.
There you go. Nah, you really need a vacation right now. Because you were like Jonathan last night, sinking in quicksand. You need a break, bro.
Yeah, uh-huh. Good call.
Nice one.
Yeah, that's a good one. You're 2-2 so far, Oz. Keep it going.
It's better than the 6-1 drubbing I find myself at the Prue on Friday night.
That is true.
Yeah, that was sad. But, Sean, between the blue skirts, blowing the game in Ottawa, and then giving up a touchdown or an extra point against Columbus, the two teams you're in a battle for the wild card spots, Cole, and now the Giants QB situation, I really want you to go and relax and get away, all right?
Yeah, things aren't great, Austin.
He needs it. That's a good point.
How much are you going to pay attention, Sean, when you're away?
I am shutting it down. Not a single tweet.
Not a single anything.
Nope, I'm not answering this chat. I'm proving a point.
I'll take you up on that one.
Yeah, I agree with Tommy. He not only will he tweet, guys, he will tweet specifically about Saquon Barkley.
Shirtless photos, the whole nine.
Right. Yeah, what happens if he's at the same resort as you?
Well, first of all,
in the penthouse suite.
I would hope on the contract he got, he is not staying at the same resort I'm staying at.
That will be more exciting than this current season of White Lotus. I would sign to watch Sean and Saquon Barkley at the same resort.
I got to tell you, Loogie, me and my wife said the exact same thing. We are 4 episodes in.
It's going to get good.
Not a damn thing has happened.
Nothing has happened.
Last time was a good episode.
I am so annoyed by this show right now. I actually told Tracy, you might be watching the rest of this by yourself.
No, you can't throw in the towel.
It will get good, Tiki, but so far, nothing has happened.
I've wasted 4 nights already.
Last night was great.
It was not great. How was it great? Because the stupid girls on the girls' trip are out like, hey, it was so fake acting. I need to find fun. No, you don't. I love when Tiki gets heated about things like this.
So, I was so annoyed by that show last night.
That's funny. What else you got, Oz, before I move on from you?
Sean, just no pictures of you beached a la Costanza on the couch trying to solicit that one person. But, Evan, you are an evil imp, Evan. Strike one, Garrett Cole. Strike two, Manaya. Strike three. You go down to Port St. Lucie and our guy, Francisco Alvarez. You're killing me, Evan.
Well, Ozzy,
stay away, Ozzy, and keep your mouth closed.
Ozzy, I will reveal a little bit later on. Let's say 5:30. We'll set a good time for it. Who is to blame? Because there is someone to blame for the injury to Francisco Alvarez. There is a culprit. He is a well-known culprit. And I've got reason to believe he's the reason Alvarez got hurt. But we'll reveal that coming up at 5:30. I almost want to watch White Lotus now just to know if Tiki's right about his...
I am very right.
What season are they in?
Three.
Oh, forget the boat's headed for the full moon party, Tiki. You can see the good story coming.
I'm all for the full moon party, by the way. I'll throw that out there.
The kid, Arnold Schwarzenegger's son?
Yeah, Saxon.
He is such a jerk off.
That's Arnold's son?
Yes, that's the point of his character.
I didn't know that.
He either is great at it, because I hate him. I'm like, somebody needs to punch this kid, like, hard. And maybe out. And once his dad, whatever happens to his dad happens, I can't tell you how happy I'm going to be.
Wow. Tiki, not a fan of the Ratliffs on White Lotus.
I am not at all.
Now you are...
Mom is a drug addict, Lprazarin, whatever the heck she's
taking. It's just
Lorazepam,
a little bit.
Whatever.
Spoiler.
Whatever. Okay, go ahead.
I'm
giving away...
Can you tell the Giants need a quarterback? Me and Tiki way more fired up about
the Lotus. I know.
It's not spoiling anything because, honestly, I have no idea what the words mean, but all I know is I kind of want to watch it now just to see. So when I finally get to season three, I'll be like, oh, Tiki, he was right,
well,
man.
Well, the problem is season one and two, you're like, this is the greatest show I've ever seen.
Well, look, that's a problem with a lot of shows. Like, to me, Lost was that way.
Yeah.
Homeland was that way.
Right.
When you have great early seasons, sometimes, like, the third and fourth season isn't necessarily bad. It's just not as good as the way a show started. Like, Lost, to me, is the best example of
right.
that. Because the first season of Lost is one of the best seasons of TV.
Well, what happens when you kill off the most important person on the entire series?
Spoiler.
I was just going to say Sydney Sweeney's in season one, and you're going to go downhill no matter what, but that's not really a spoiler.
Is that true?
She's in the first season.
Oh, wow. Okay. Let's go to Matt in Staten Island. How are you, Matt?
Evan, what's going on, brother? How are you?
We're good, man. What's up?
All right, listen. I think your opportunity with Pete Alonso is the best thing you could cash in on. Just look at me for a second. You got the beard.
Yeah?
You got the beard. You groom it good. You go under Cheeky's tutelage for maintenance and fashion. Your wife is going to look at you one day like you are a conquistador walking
Matt,
onto the shores of Mexico.
Right. That's right.
I think this is your second act, Evan. Take the opportunity. Recreate yourself.
Hey, that's a great call, Matt.
That's a good point. It's a way to do it. I'm not threatened, you know, by like some bet I lost or I can't groom it. Pete said nothing about grooming.
Nope.
He obviously, it's allowed. So, I'm going to strongly consider this one tonight.
You should. Reinvent yourself.
By the way, and you'll hear this audio when I air it on the Rico, because I know you're not going to believe me. When Pete came over to me, first thing he said to me was, thank you.
Really?
He said thank you.
Yeah. To you?
To me. Thank you.
Because you got it signed.
For the beard. Yeah. He thinks it contributed to it all getting done.
Hey.
So I not only...
why he wants you to run it back.
I think so. Because when I went to Pete last year in spring training... You know, I had to explain it to him.
Right. Now he gets it.
Oh, he knew all about it. So, thank you, Pete. It meant a lot to me. Let's go to Santos in Staten Island. How are you, Santos?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. What's on your mind, pal?
Okay, so I want to talk about Aaron Rodgers. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is a good fit for the Giants. I mean, after all that's been going on with the Jets and Salah and everybody else who has gotten fired, who's gotten thrown out. I think the Giants are not looking for that. I think they're going to go with Russell Wilson, and I think that he'll be a better fit than Aaron Rodgers.
But think about this, and I want to ask you guys this. If we are all on board that the Giants signing a veteran quarterback is literally a bridge to whomever they draft, whether it's trading up for Cam Ward, whether it's drafting Shedeur Sanders, whomever that is, that's the second debate we'll all have. But we all agree
The veteran they sign is the guy that gives them the chance to win in the short term and eventually leads to whatever young quarterback they draft.
Right, because they're going to do both. They're going to draft a quarterback, even if it's in the second round.
Yeah.
Or late first, whatever, because they could work their way back into the first if they need to, say for Jackson Dart. But they are definitely signing a veteran.
Right.
They have to.
So what makes, and I want you to give me specifics on this, because I've been thinking about it, and our caller brings it up. What makes Aaron Rodgers more appealing than Russell Wilson?
Because I just feel like Aaron, I think Russell Wilson's washed. I think he's shot. I think he can make some big plays here and there, but the consistency down to down is simply not there, and the stats back it up. You realize last year he had a negative EPA, and this is advanced stats, unless if you care about advanced stats in football, but he had a negative EPA in total on the season.
Yes, that Lion 4 is on the right base. Not that Maggie's back in town.
On the Fan. McMonagle here with you. I got you for 3 hours until 5 a.m. at 888-808-1019. We got Fleegs on the other side. Rami's still hanging out, taking your phone calls for the next 3 hours right here on the Fan. We'll get to everything over the course of 3 hours. We got the Knicks ending a three-game skid. I spoke pretty much all show yesterday, a lot of the 5 hours on Gerrit Cole. We knew it was coming. We'll get to the ramifications for the New York Yankees, but I want to talk with the enthusiasm. And everybody is so excited and thrilled that Justin Fields is the next quarterback of the New York Jets, as it has been, you know, I guess reported. You can't even say announced. Free agency doesn't start for another 2 days. But Justin Fields is going to be the next quarterback of the New York Jets. We could stop spinning the wheel. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss spinning the wheel every day at 3. Because it's landed on Justin Fields at 2 years, $40 million. $30 million guaranteed. And I don't understand the overwhelming enthusiasm from Jets Nation on how wonderful a signing this is. Because let's be totally honest. Let's start with where we share some things that we agree on. And then I'll talk about why I disagree with the overall signing. First off, I do think, and I've been saying it for a while, making the playoffs is important for this team. I think having the drought of 14 years and, you know, going on 15, hanging over this team's head, where you got, you know, Jared Allen and former, you know, current Hall of Famers and former players just riffing off the top of their heads trying to come up with a losing franchise, and the Jets are the first name out of his mouth. Like, just everything that's hovering over this team, I think it's important to win this year. I think the roster's really talented. I still believe that. I believed it when Rodgers was here. I believed it last year. I'll believe it this year. I think the roster is actually pretty damn talented for the New York Jets. And I do think it's important to win this year. And of all the quarterbacks, of course, after Aaron Rodgers, who for me is still the best option, I think they would be better off today with Aaron Rodgers over anybody else, including Justin Fields. But outside of Aaron Rodgers, which they made that decision weeks ago, Justin Fields is probably the best quarterback option that we spun the wheel, right? I can't, you know, maybe Matthew Stafford, but that didn't come to fruition. I don't think even, you know, is Sam Darnold a better quarterback? Sure, but that wasn't going to happen for the New York Jets and give him, you know, the $100 million contract. I wouldn't have seen that. This was as good an option for the New York Jets to win this upcoming season as there could have been. Great. That's just wonderful. But I've also called it a palate cleanser. And that's where we have the problem. First off, let's just talk about how good, because I can't stop hearing about the dual threat that he is and the athleticism of a quarterback and how great it's going to be. Or the lottery ticket. I mean, the lottery ticket. You know what the thing about lottery tickets are? They don't hit. You ever hit a lottery ticket? You're hearing me right now. Did you ever actually win with a lottery ticket? Anything significant? Maybe there's like a handful of people out there. Lottery tickets lose 99.9% of the time. The idea that we're boasting, the first thing out of, and I respect the hell out of everyone I'm about to mention, but like, You know, I'm turning on SNY and there's Connor Hughes telling me, well, this is, you know, this is a lottery ticket. Evan, I'm listening in the afternoon. This is a lottery ticket. That's what we're hoping. This is the great thing about the signing. It's as good a lottery ticket. Lottery tickets don't win. Take that money, invest it in the stock market. And I know today was a bad day, but trust me, buy the dips. Lottery ticket. This guy, he's not very good. What over the course of his career, other than just straight up his athleticism? That's it. We're basing this lottery ticket on his age, his maybe his college career, and his athleticism. That's it. Because I'm seeing dual threats. I've watched them play. The idea he's a dual threat. Dual threats are guys who can throw and then have the run element attached. That is not Justin Fields. Justin Fields is not, hey, he can throw the hell out of the football, plus he can run a little bit. No. That's a dual threat quarterback. Number one is throwing the football. And Justin Fields doesn't throw the football. Last year, I mean, do we think Mike Tomlin is a good head coach? Do we think Mike Tomlin does things counterintuitive to winning football games for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Because again, last year they had this lottery ticket on their team. This young, athletic quarterback on their team played the first six games of the year, went 4-2. And the second, Russell Wilson, who all of you will tell me is washed, who none of you will probably want for the New York Giants as we wait for Aaron Rodgers to make a decision, as that this is a better option than Russell Wilson, you know, for the New York Jets. Nobody else wants Russell Wilson. Pittsburgh's going to sign. You're hearing some of the rumors of the contract for what possibly Aaron Rodgers could get in Pittsburgh. They're going to sign an old man who couldn't win with the Jets last year to this kind of money to avoid Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson, they went back to instead of Justin Fields. And as the season was collapsing at the end, as Russell Wilson was falling apart at the end of the year, not once did they consider going back to Justin Fields. Does it not tell you anything? Like, I get that it's the best plausible option, and I get, hey, maybe there's a one in a million chance that he finds himself with this defensive head coach and a first-time offensive coordinator, and maybe he finds himself and becomes this great, unbelievable player. Okay. I think this roster is good enough, and if the coach is who we think he is, and a legitimate head coach who will button things up, who will hold players accountable, who will actually get more out of the defense than what happened last year after firing Robert Saleh. Like, I think this roster is good enough. How many games did they win 2 years ago with Zach Wilson? They're going to win some games, right? And I want them to win games, and I talked about the idea that it's important to win games and possibly make the playoffs. And yes, out of all the crap options that were out there for the New York Jets, this might give them the best chance. But the problem is I don't see a real future with him. I also called it a palate cleanser. If you have Aaron Rodgers, like a legitimate veteran quarterback at the end of his career, who I think can still play, and I still think will give you better numbers than Justin Fields will give you. If you win with him, there's no fooling yourself into what the future promises. It's a one-year deal. It's a palate cleanse. And then you get some wins under your belt. You end this playoff drought. And then you go about building the franchise. Here's the problem with Justin Fields, who they gave, you know, $30 million guaranteed to. So right off the bat, he's your starting quarterback. Right? I don't think there's a debate with him and Tyrod Taylor. I don't think there's going to be a real competition between him and Tyrod Taylor. He's the quarterback. Tyrod Taylor's the backup. And then you go into the year. If you win 7, 8, 9 games, because you know what? The roster's good enough to do that. They did that with Zach Wilson. 2 years ago, they won 7, 8 games. With a legitimate head coach and the step up, which I'll admit, it is a step up from Zach Wilson to Justin Fields. That should give you 2 wins alone compared to 2 years ago. Still not sure who he's throwing to exactly, other than Gary Wilson, his former teammate in college. I don't know who he's throwing to. And here's my issue, because if you get those wins, this franchise and this head coach are not going to look towards the future. You are going to give Justin Fields a contract moving forward, a la Daniel Jones, and it's going to end up costing this team the real chance of winning, because I do not believe Justin Fields is the type of quarterback who can sustain over the course of time with the Jets in this division with Josh Allen, who just won the MVP, who just signed a six-year extension, who's one of, if not the best quarterback in the league, right there, obviously behind Mahomes. You have to be fair with the amount of championships he's won. And right there with Lamar Jackson, the two of them are kind of that next crop along with Joe Burrow. Like, that's in that division where you might have May stepping up, and you got already the Patriots poaching your offensive lineman and Morgan Moses, and seeing what they're going to do with their new head coach and their young quarterback and all the salary cap money they have in New England. Like, this is a tough division with one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL who's owned the division for the last 5 years staring at you, and Justin Fields doesn't cut it. At some point, the Jets are going to have to go make a move to get their franchise quarterback. And if you bring in Justin Fields and he wins you enough games and you don't make the playoffs, or even if you do, moving forward, you can't lock yourself into Justin Fields because he's athletic. Because again, you watch him play, he doesn't throw the football well. He won 4 out of 6 games for Pittsburgh. They moved on from him. And if you look at the overall situation of this Jets team, like, I'm not crapping on this deal for 2 years and $40 million. Is it the end of the world? If he's terrible, you move on from it relatively easy. It's not a bad contract. He's not a bad player. And listen, if you want to get excited about it, Jet fans, I hear you. Because it is of the slop, of the spinning of the wheel I did every day at 3 a.m. Is this the best option? Sure. Sure. I'm not even going to argue that. So ultimately, did the Jets make a good move here? They made about as good a move as they could once they made the dumb decision to move on from Aaron Rodgers. Once Matthew Stafford signed a deal with the Rams, this was about as good as you could hope for. But the enthusiasm behind it, like, this is a great move, and this is a lottery ticket, and he's a dual threat. Like, we've watched him in the NFL. We've seen him in the NFL. Now, some of the arguments, well, you know, Chicago didn't really just give up on him. They were, you know, they were so bad, you know,
with him at quarterback,
that they got the first overall pick. What are you going to, they traded, you know, they made a great trade with the Panthers and got the first overall pick, and they were staring one of these great prospects in the face. It wasn't like he completely failed. They were, you know, they moved on just because they got the first pick, and now, you know, he won some games with Pittsburgh last year. Like, the idea this is a great move, that the Jets have found or have an opportunity to have found their future quarterback, I just don't see it. I just don't see it. I do not think, I mean, you watch him play, and again, with an offensive line, me and Fleegs were joking about it, because I know how much we all obsess over the offensive line. You just lost Morgan Moses, and I'm telling you right now, watch Justin Fields' tape. He holds the ball forever. He is going to take bad sacks. He is going to hold the ball forever. And we are going to get the same calls over and over again. And people who think they, you know, who want to get one on me, particularly who is an Aaron Rodgers fan. Oh, you're telling me, look at the sacks they're giving up. You're telling me with Aaron Rodgers, they're going to be able to protect that guy? That old, with Justin Fields, you can't protect him with his athleticism. Yeah, because he holds onto the ball forever and will take bad sacks. And right now, I don't know if they have any other wide receivers besides Garrett Wilson who can get open. Like, you're going to have to rely on his run game. I guess that's a positive. I don't think they have a passing attack right now, and they're going to have to rely on his run game to create some offense. It is not a bad contract. If it doesn't pan out, you get out of it relatively easy. My fear is that he gives you enough with an overall good roster, other than maybe the wide receiver, which they'll add to. But you still have the $35 million cap hit that's coming from Aaron Rodgers. You've guaranteed him 30. He's a mobile quarterback who doesn't have the first part of the dual threat that everybody keeps telling me he is. And he's going to come into a Jets team, win some games, because I think the roster is good enough. They won more games with Zach Wilson than they did with Aaron Rodgers. It doesn't mean they got better quarterback play. The roster's good enough. The coach should be buttoned up enough. I expect this coach to be far better than what they've had, certainly last year. They'll win 7-8 games. They'll be in the mix. You'll feel better about the team. And depending on how he plays, he might earn himself a contract and be thought of as the future quarterback of the New York Jets. And ultimately, as much as I want to see them win this year, I don't want to see them lock themselves into not being able to win in the future. And I fear that's the case. We've been talking about this for weeks. I said the same thing when it landed on him spinning the wheel, a couple weeks ago when we did the Justin Fields was one of the options when we spun the wheel for Jets quarterbacks. I just don't see it. It's not a terrible day. They're better off than they were yesterday at the quarterback position. He does have some athleticism. It's about as good an option as they had picking from what were they able to pick from. But the enthusiasm, the excitement, the unbridled joy I'm sensing from Jet fans that this was the great move to be had, I don't see it. I think the Jets now have locked themselves into hopefully a decent season, and I am fearful they are going to give him a contract like Daniel Jones, and in 2 years, that Muji is talking about the big mistake he made after initial success with the quarterback, much like Joe Shane is talking about right now. That's my fear. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. So, the best of the crappy options, but still not one that makes me feel any better about this franchise long term. Not one that makes me think that moving on from Aaron Rodgers was the right thing to do, as right now he's wanted by Minnesota, he's wanted by the Giants, he's wanted by Pittsburgh. I guess the rest of the NFL doesn't believe him to be washed like the Jet fans do. And that speaks to the Giants. We'll get to that over the course of the show, too, as they wait. As they wait for Aaron Rodgers, who clearly would rather go to a winning team. We talked about this the other day. You know, before that Geno Smith move, it felt like it was a much more logical option. Now you're waiting on Russell Wilson to Pittsburgh, and if they don't come to an agreement there, Aaron Rodgers is a great fit there. You've still got Minnesota, who's moved on from Sam Darnold after he signed a long-term deal with the Seattle Seahawks. And the Giants are in flux waiting for their quarterback. And I'll tell you what, right now it sounds like it's either Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. I'll give you several, and particularly one option I like better than the Russell Wilson fallback option. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. We'll start with the football. We will get to Gerrit Cole and the ramifications. And yes, I still believe this is a playoff team. I do not believe the season is over. The New York Yankees are still one of, if not the best team in the American League. There is no reason to crawl in our beds and cry. This is still a winning team that has proven it year after year. That's right. I know what I just said. We'll get to the ramifications of how much money the reports came out, how much money the Yankees made last year, and what they could make on the insurance on Gerrit Cole's contract and what it means for what this owner absolutely needs to do.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.